Julie, good day.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Julie. Thank you for waiting.
That's all right. I wanted to talk to you about weddings.
Well, did you hear the reason I'm talking about this
yes.
morning?
Yes, they don't do that anymore. It's been phased out.
What, asking the father permission?
Yeah. Well, No, asking, does anybody object?
Now, are you a celebrant?
I am.
How long have you been doing it?
About 12 years.
Okay. Now, first of all, the reason I'm talking about this is that my stepdaughter, came round for a visit not last Saturday, the Saturday before, because it was her birthday. And she came through and she went out the back to sit down with everybody and talked. And her partner grabbed me and pulled me aside. And he said, I want to ask your permission to marry Chuck. He said, we're going to Melbourne next weekend to see her father. And then I'm going to take her out for dinner and ask her to marry me. I wanted to ask your permission. And I was so touched. But I had to, I said, does anyone know? He said, no. I said, does Jacob know? Does Holly know? He said, no one knows. So I had to keep that a secret for 2 weeks, nearly. And I did. I was good. Anyway, I thought it was a very sweet thing for him to do. And considering I'm not her biological father, I'm her stepfather, but I love the girl very, very much. But so we'll have a wedding soon. And I was just wondering, when the celebrant or the minister or the preacher says, does anyone here object? Has there ever been a case where someone's yelled out, I object?
No, they don't. And it's been phased out for the simple reason, if you're a celebrant and you haven't got the proper legal requirements, as in if you've been married twice, obviously, if you didn't have your decree nisi the second time, and the celebrant married you, the celebrant's in real trouble and the marriage isn't legal.
But the celebrant meets the couple and you have a pre-meeting or maybe a couple or maybe even a rehearsal. Surely you ask that question and surely there's a form that the couple can sign which clears you.
On the notice of intention to marry, there's a requirement there for us to put the birth certificate number and the decree nisi number. So that can be checked through the BDM. Then if that's not done correctly, the marriage won't be registered with the BDM, so it's all pointless and the celebrant will lose their licence for not checking all that. So
Okay, but not asking the question, does anyone here object, still doesn't get you out of that poo.
Oh, yeah, but that would only be a personal reason. It wouldn't be a legal reason. Or the legal reason wouldn't hold up if the celebrant's done her work or his work.
Okay, but what if someone says, I object because, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of something here, because they're really brother and sister.
Oh, well, you should have found that out. And you also, in that process, they sign, the couple, sign a legal document to say that they aren't related, that they're over 18 years of age, that there's no legal impediment as to why they shouldn't be joined as a couple and so on and so on. And that's a legal requirement as well.
Julie's a wedding celebrant, folks. If you've got any questions for Julie, are you happy to take some calls?
Yeah, of course I am.
If there's anyone who's got any wedding questions, I'm just looking here. I've got a couple of lines. If you've got a question for Julie, the wedding celebrant, call us right now. 133353 is the telephone number. And you can talk directly to Julie. She's got all the answers for you. Julie, what happens when people elope and go to Las Vegas where they marry you through a drive-through, if you want? What happens there?
No, it depends on whether it's recognised through the Australian government. There's places like people go to Fiji and all the rest of it. Some of those places are recognised, some are not.
I had a friend who went to Bali. Do you get a lot of people who go to Bali to get married?
Yes, yeah. And the only thing I say to them is, please just check that it's legal in Australia. Have you got time for me to tell you a story?
Oh, of course, yeah. but just repeating, if anyone has any wedding questions for Julie, the wedding celebrant, call through now. Maybe you've got a funny wedding story you'd like to share. Yeah, give us a call right now. Julie's just said she's happy to take some calls. go ahead.
We do what we call ongoing professional development every 12 months. It's a legal requirement by the Attorney General's Department.
Yeah.
And it's basically you do a whole day's training to see if there's any new laws being brought in because they're updated all the time.
Sure.
Anyway, I went to one of those one day and the tutor was there and he says, I need to ask you all a question and I want to hear your answer. Now, this couple were actually at the together, standing together, ready to get married, and the bride said, oh, look, I don't feel well. I really need to go to the loo. She went to the loo and she never came back.
What?
No, she did a runner. And then the tutor said to us, were they legally married? And we all said no. And he said,
so are you still not legally married if you haven't consummated?
No, well, all the legalities of paperwork and everything else have to be done. It's not about consummation at all.
I thought it had to be consummated to be a legal wedding. I understand the paperwork, but I thought you had to, can I be blunt? I thought you had to have sex to seal the deal.
Not necessarily. There's a lot of different circumstances. The funny part about it is we have 14 days to lodge our paperwork. So if you got married Saturday, you still got a fortnight before the BDM even acknowledges that you were married.
Oh, really? So you can get married on a Saturday and you think you're married the next day, but the birth, deaths and marriages haven't received all the paperwork for a couple of days, so you're really still not legally married.
That's it.
Well, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, when we questioned why this couple were married, because I think it might have happened in Tassie, but we won't go there. Apparently it was all about intent. She stood at the end of the aisle in her wedding dress. All the guests had been invited to her wedding to watch her marry this gentleman.
Yes.
So she legally had to divorce him and they'd never said their vows.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah, of course you can.
When me and my best mate, Gavin, were young, we had an ad in the local newspaper saying, willing to work, two strong, healthy teenage boys, will do gardening, lawn mowing, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, we got a phone call from someone wanting to know if we could attend and help serve at a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd never done it before. So we said, yes, okay. And we had to turn up in smart. I think we had to turn up with white shirts and
black pants, probably, yeah.
No, I think it was a beach wedding at a beach house.
Oh, okay.
I think we had board shorts but a white shirt. Anyway, doesn't matter. And our job was to hand out drinks and collect glasses and do that sort of thing. Anyway, so it was a lovely wedding on sunset on the beach. They walked up the beach, up the path to the house, and then we're serving champagne and drinks. And it was going along fine until we heard this screaming. This screaming. And the bride came running out of the house and she's in tears. Everyone's going, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she caught her bridesmaid with the groom.
Oh, no.
She caught her bridesmaid with the groom in one of the bedrooms. And it was all over. And there was tears. There was drama. There was swearing.
Oh, God.
A table was tipped over. And me and my mate, we're loving it. We thought we'd never seen such a circus. We had never seen such a circus. And we both said to each other, we're going to carry this story with us for years. Well, it's many years later now, and I still remember it like it was yesterday. I've never seen anything like it. And we better go. And they said, no, you're helping clean up. So.
Oh, well.
So
not the first time that story's been heard or told, I wouldn't think. There's a lot of that, I mean.
Well, that happened in Muriel's wedding. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Look, I've got an ex-husband's relatives that's happened too. Well, he's still having a fling with the matron of honour.
So, yeah, this was a bridesmaid or a matron of honour, yeah. And she caught them in the bedroom and she's come. It was absolute she was screaming blue murder. And we were told to stay and help clean up the mess. I'm pretty sure we got paid, but I don't know what happened to the couple. Now, they gave their vows down on the beach. They walked up to the lawn and signed their paperwork, and then the drinks were served. So what would have happened?
I would have suggested they're married, that they would have had to legally get a divorce, or she would have to apply to the court to get an annulment. She could do either. It actually, when we questioned this tutor in class and says, well, how were they married? There was no vows exchanged, no anything. And he said, it's all about intent. And so that will come down to the magistrate sitting on the bench as to whether he believed the intent was there, or obviously it was if they got married and signed paperwork. But he may err on the side of feeling sorry for her because she's got a girlfriend that doesn't know the girlfriend code. So,
hey, tell me this, Julie, the marriage celebrant. Have you been at a wedding where this has happened?
No, I haven't, actually.
But you've heard of it.
I was sort of, as I said, my ex is really going through that process now. The marriage is broken down because of it, but this has been going on for years. You're talking about 15 years or something.
Wow. Tell me, is there much money in being a wedding celebrant? I mean, can you make a living out of it, or is it really a hobby?
Not anymore. You used to be able to. When I first got into it years ago, it was sort of like what they used to do. You could only have, it was one celebrant to every 1,000 people the Attorney General's department worked on. So you had to wait for somebody to drop off the perch to be able to get into it. But then they dropped that, and then I did a fairly extensive training course, but we still had the group in the course, had to wait 6 months before they would give us our final qualifications. But now every man and his dog can do it if you pay $1,500 or something and do an online course.
It's 15. And how much do you charge per wedding?
$500.
$500?
Mm-hmm.
And what, you would do one or two weddings a weekend?
God, I could wish. No, you're flat out, especially because of COVID as well.
Yes.
I did one only a couple of weeks ago. That was out in the paddock out past Wodonga. So it was a lovely wedding, but it was very quiet and very small and no attendance or anything, just the kids.
$500. And when you finish, do they feed you and do you have a few drinks or are you on your way?
Oh, not normally, but these were rallies, so yes, I stayed.
And do relatives ask you to do it for free?
Oh, they tend to think you're going to.
Yeah, do you know, I'm sick and tired of this. I very rarely get invited to be a guest at a wedding. Everyone asks me to MC it, and it gives me the shit because you got to stay nice. And I take that job very seriously. My cousin's daughter is getting married. Oh, we don't know. It was called off because of COVID, so I don't know when it's back on. But I was going to have to MC that. But her sister's come back to Australia with her boyfriend, who fancies himself as a bit of a showman, and he's taken the load off me.
Oh, well, you can enjoy.
I know.
You can relax.
How did COVID and the restrictions around weddings affect you?
Well, it affected everybody because you're only allowed to have 5 people.
Oh, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yourself, the couple and the witnesses, and there's got to be witnesses. So, you're only allowed 5 people. And the point about it is nobody wants to pay the kind of money that the girls pay for the dresses.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything and not have anybody see it. So they put it off and put it off. This couple that I...
Well, I guess there's the photos.
Yeah. Well, the one couple I married only a few weeks ago, she'd had a wedding dress for 18 months. I'd had their paperwork for 14 months.
Do you reckon, young kids, do you reckon too much money is spent on weddings? I mean, I was reading somewhere a few months ago that the average Australian wedding costs $60,000.
I think that's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. That's a deposit on a flat.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. The fee I charge is the same as the registry office, but then what the couples do, I don't dictate to them what they do. There's laws that have to be followed, so I tell them those requirements at the first meeting. Then we have another meeting to see how things are going, and then I do a practice because everybody's much more comfortable once they've had a practice, and then they go from there. But I just don't understand the kind of money people spend on flowers and dresses and the whole kit and caboodle.
Here's a question. So when my stepdaughter gets married, I haven't seen her, but I just saw a photo of her left hand with a ring on it, and she sent me a photo. I think it's on Facebook. But they're coming around on Saturday, and obviously we'll have a chat. Now, they're both in their early 30s. They both have really good jobs. And they're off, I mean, you know, they're not kids. They're adults now. Am I expected to fork out anything for this?
Oh, that's a negotiable with your daughter. I think not, but that's only my opinion. The couple I married only a couple of weeks ago, her grandmother had bought her wedding dress, and they just had a, wasn't a barbecue, but it was basically roast. And the mother-in-law's put in and bought the meat and cooked the meat and brought it in, and everybody just had their hand in it, and everybody just sat in the backyard and had basically this roast dinner.
Yeah.
And everything was great and didn't cost that kind of money. The problem today is, if you're talking Sydney or anywhere, is booking a venue and the price you will pay for the venue.
Well, down the road, there's a scout hall. And it's on the banks of the lake. No, I'm serious. And they don't mind if you decorate the hall up. It would fit 80 to 100 people. And then right outside, there's a big balcony. And then you're looking at the lake, which would look brilliant at sunset. I suggested to this young man when he spoke to me, I said, the scout hall.
One of the best things they can do, and this is what I actually did for my daughter's 21st. She wanted a 21st at home. Oh, God. And she just wanted finger food. But her requirement was, she said, Mum, if you're going to work your rear end off, I'm not having it there. Sort something out about it, please. So what we did was, we got a couple of waitresses in for the night who were friends, and they just kept the food coming all night.
That's what you want. Get some caterers. Get someone to clean up, someone that will bring big garbage bags, organise the recycling, clean the kitchen, and have it all done. Yep, I'm with you. I'm with you.
So, Luke, it was one of the best things we ever did. And then after everybody had sort of basically finished and desserts were brought out, they just joined the party as well. And got paid very nicely for it.
I've really enjoyed our chat, Julie. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's all right.
I think you must be very good at what you do, because I feel as though you and I have been friends for ages, and we've only just met. I like you very much, Julie. Thank you.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you so much for ringing me. Okay.
Okay. See ya,
Julie, a wedding celebrant. Wouldn't you love Julie doing your wedding? Wouldn't you? Doesn't she sound like a lovely person? 133353. Wouldn't you love Julie to marry you, Jess? She was fantastic.
She does sound like she loves a job.
And she sounds like a jolly person.
Yeah, which is what you'd want.
So here's my question. So Chook is my stepdaughter, right? She was 3 turning 4 when she came into my life. She's now in her mid-30s. Her boyfriend, we won't mention his name, but he has a job, full-time job. And we won't say what he does, Jess, but you know what he does. Are you there, Jess?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, Jess is there, because there's that delay, because Jess is working from home, and sometimes there's a bit of a delay when we talk. So they're self-sufficient, but they are looking to buy a unit, and the price of just a two-bedroom unit where they're looking is $900,000, Jess. It's just ridiculous, because they're looking in Sydney on the northern beaches. $950,000 was a unit they looked at last week. It was a three-story red brick walk-up, and it was $950,000. It's ridiculous. Jess, I'm going to let you swap internets. If you could just do that very quickly, because that delay is getting worse and worse and worse. So, Jess, if you could just swap, do that magic that you do and swap over, that'd be great. So they're struggling to buy their first place together. Here's my question, and we'll discuss it probably on Saturday. Am I expected to fork out for this wedding, or am I going halves with her dad? Or when kids are in their 30s, are they expected to pay for everything themselves? Are you back with me, Jess?
I feel like most of my friends are doing it themselves. They've been working for a long time. And then the beauty of paying for it yourself is you don't have to invite people your parents want you to invite.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. That's a really, really good point. Well, you and I were talking about a bride that had the shits with her in-laws because they insisted on paying for the wedding. She let them, but then they invited all these people she didn't want there, remember?
Exactly, you know.
And the in-laws ordered shellfish, and the bride hated shellfish. Remember that?
Oh, that's awful. No, you want to be in full control, and you don't want, you know, one parent might say, oh, no, you got to invite this cousin or this neighbor from 10 years ago, or this person's like family, or they invited us to their wedding, and then it just gets out of control. I love the idea. If you can, not everyone has that, you know, is fortunate enough to be able to do that and needs the help, which is great. And some people want to take the help, and some parents, you know, they've saved their whole lives to help their children with something like that, which is fine. But I think, I don't know, for me, I'd want to.
Oh, your dad would insist. If you get married, your dad's chucking everything on for his little princess. You watch. You won't be.
Oh, not just my dad. No, my parents, both of them would love to.
I'm just saying, see, I'm traditional now, the father of the bride, okay? Just bear with me. But your parents, they would want to chuck, and you'll have one of those huge Lebanese weddings with the drums and the dancing and the camels. Will you have camels?
Oh, God, love, no. What movies are you watching?
I don't know. Who was that bloke that he shut down the whole street and he had the big wedding with all the drums and the helicopters and the military? And anyway, I reckon you'll have something.
Yeah, Salim Mahaja, but
that's it.
I love the idea of the drums, but no. A big wedding with people that you don't love, no thank you.
So I won't be there?
Yeah, that's a no.
Thanks, Jess.
Oh, it's all right.
This is the night shift.
Triple M.